In the Sunday night football game, the Chargers improved to 7-3 after taking down the Steelers 25-10. And in the NBA, wins for the Celtics, Thunder, and Knicks.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning and welcome in to the Monday, a cold Monday edition of Inside the Locker Room. Great sports weekend here. Not here in Tuscaloosa, in New York and in Tuscaloosa. We'll break all that down for you this morning. Phone lines will be open 205-342-9904 if you'd like to jump in with us. Download that app. Get that Tide 100.9 app on your smartphone. You can take us with you anywhere you go. You also can send those app messages and we'll read those out over the air. If you want to email us, you can do that at wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. Before we get started, we want to thank Yellowwood. That would be pressure treated pine from Great Southern. You want to build the five-star backyard. Yellowwood would be your only choice. To find a dealer that is closest to you, go to yellowwood.com and they'll take great care. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Before we get started, Wyatt, give me some applause here. The blue plate streak is over. This one was not even close. He said, take SMU. I think the line, it didn't matter what it was. 10.5, 11.5. They went to Boston College and Bill O'Brien got his booty smacked. So we're back on track with the blue plate. That guy that bets all the time, he asked me after the game, what was the blue plate? That means he got his butt beat. So, congratulations. How does it feel to finally hit one?
I feel like a champion.
Champion. There you go. You feel
okay,
good, dude.
A little better. Blue plate did win. Alabama had two big wins, football and basketball. We'll talk about those as we go through the day. Six teams now in the finals right now. Texas has moved in. A&M is right behind Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Texas, and Vanderbilt. So the surprising things to me a little bit that Auburn was able to score 38 points. They lost. And that Kentucky was able to score 38 points, and they won. That was a little bit surprising to me. We have 7 games, 14 teams playing today with Tennessee Tech and Kentucky, a non-conference, and New Mexico State and Tennessee, a non-conference, for our close. I guess the two most meaningful games are all meaningful, but it would be Texas at Georgia and Alabama at Oklahoma. And if you want to watch the Purdue basketball games, it's at 6 o'clock on Thursday at Alabama. And the Saturday game is on ABC. Alabama's a 7-point favorite, and that game is at 2:30 our time. So we welcome your calls. You can tell us what you think, what happened, and so forth, so on, and turn it over to Barry.
Yeah, Nate Oates and his team played lights out in Madison Square Garden. Great venue, great atmosphere. Their guards, Alabama's guards, were pretty much unguardable. Phylon gets 25, Holloway gets 21, and Reitzel gets 17. If those guys play like that, then Alabama will be hard to beat. There's a lot of people said Alabama's going to go 0-4 in this next stretch. Well, that's not going to happen because they went to Madison Square Garden.
I think the guard from Auburn coming to Alabama is a lot to talk about. You know, he's very, very good. And for whatever reason, just didn't get enough shots at Auburn, I guess. I guess he was correct. He got a bunch of shots, and he made a bunch of them.
Yeah, so they take on Purdue. That's at 6 o'clock ESPN. Then next Wednesday, they got Illinois in Chicago. Then they take on Gonzaga that Monday. So then they'll go to, I guess, Vegas and play in the Thanksgiving tournament there. So,
Can I gripe about the fact that we have an 11 p.m. tip-off on that week?
What do you mean?
We play, so Alabama plays.
Yeah, it is 11 p.m.
Alabama plays Gonzaga, tips like 9:45, and then the next night they play UNLV, and it's 11 p.m.
Actually, the Gonzaga, I'm looking at 8:30, then they play Vegas on TNT at 11 at night. Okay, whatever. I didn't notice that. I probably have to tape that one. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, AC?
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. How you guys feeling?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm okay. Good. Well, I was pondering, like, what kind of question should I ask you? And you gave me a beautiful idea. So give me 1 second, please.
Yeah, I apologize. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, sorry about that. Okay, so now you mentioned, again, I just came up with this question at the last second. Here's my question. You guys coached in the in college basketball. Now, did you coach in the NBA by any chance or just college basketball? Because I have a question for you.
No, just college. Just college.
Okay. Okay. So when it's like time difference, I know you guys are in Central. Let's say you're playing the East Coast. You're playing in the West Coast. Or depend. Again, it's not your time zone, so you're in an uncomfortable situation. So how did you motivate your players? It's like, hey, we're in a different time zone. We got to prepare. Like, your mindset is different because in Alabama, you're playing probably 3-4 games. Then you got to go somewhere else to play. It's a different time zone. So how did you prepare your players in terms of the time zone? And as a coach, how did you prepare yourself? Because you need to sleep, you need the nutrition, et cetera, et cetera. So how did you guys deal with this? Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Ned, going to a different time zone. You took teams out to California places. How'd you do that?
Well, you adjust your schedule to the time zone. Actually, your preparation is the same. If you can prepare before you get there, you do so. But then once you know that your preparation is going to be different, your pregame meals are different. They're 4 hours before you play. And so you just simply just look at the time zone and just adjust it. Just it like that, and I think as far as getting ready for the game, there's really not a whole lot of change. You do the same thing. You just do it at a different time.
Yeah, you know, when you're playing the SEC, but you know, everybody, unless you're Alabama going to South Carolina, the time zone's maybe 1 hour. These kids are college kids. They don't sleep. College kids don't go to sleep till 1 a.m. So I don't think time zone, if you're going to play, I think when we went to Maui, it was such a difference. So you get over there a few days before and just get adjusted to the time zone there. Now, I think these football teams having to go from the West Coast to the East Coast and then back to – I think it's a little more difficult for those guys because they're literally traveling on Friday most of the times, and they're having to fly all the way across the country and play and then fly back, and they're going back and forth. So – the way the Big Ten set their deal up there with these teams all over the country, it probably is a bigger deal for those guys. So, all right, we'll go ahead and take our first break. Keep the phone lines open, 205-342-9904. Max Howell will join us at the bottom of the hour. Dad, I want to ask you this question. You can think about the answer. Two questions. Why can Alabama not run the football? And is Ty Simpson having a great year? Is he regressing a little bit because they can't run it, and now they got more film on him? They've studied him more. Maybe the teams know how to play him better. We'll talk about those two things as well when we get back. Two-minute truck, they're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. They'll take great care of you and take the stress away. 205-247-5050. 2 minute a truck. Movers who care.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Monday morning. 8 Democrats joined Senate Republicans late last night in voting to advance a U.S. House-passed short-term funding measure, the first step forward in weeks toward ending the government shutdown. Alabama Republican U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville told reporters after the vote, Democrats could have done this days ago. The U.S.
Really learn another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather. Cold and windy today. The sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 41. For tonight, we go way below freezing. The sky clear, the low 23. Tomorrow, sunny with a warmer afternoon, the high in the low 50s at 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 31 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Need to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Then subscribe to our YouTube channel for exclusive content on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Guess you saw this, but our good friend, we've had him on the show several times. Chris Hatcher was fired yesterday at Samford. So Chris Hatcher is out 62-59 in 11 seasons. He won one SoCon title. It's hard, you know, you get guys there and the portal and all, guys want to move up. And so I think he only returned one starter from last year's team on offense. So Chris Hatcher.
He's got a winning record at Samford, and they fire him?
Yeah. So, anyway. Real quick before we get to Phillip, what's wrong with Alabama's run game? And is Ty, they got more film on him? Is he regressing just a little bit? Because they don't have a running game, what are your thoughts there?
I think it's the offensive line, first of all. I think it's the way that it really satisfies the head coach the way they play the way they're playing. The running game is important, and it may kill him at the end. But you know that's his game that he plays, and that's what the offensive coordinator knows. I think it's the offensive line. They get to him, he has to scramble like crazy. The offensive line is, to me, is average as running water.
In the run game.
I think it is, and I think that's the reason that he's having to scramble. He's going to have to scramble even more. But I think he wiggled out of a lot of situations, and it's actually done pretty well. When you do great, and then you have a misfire every now and then, when people really come after you, like Oklahoma's going to come after him, then everybody goes backwards on you. But if you do bad to start the season, and then you start doing great, boy, what an improvement you've made.
So, yeah, you know, Oklahoma's sitting there with a week off to get ready for Alabama, so they're going to be really prepared for Alabama coming in, and they got a defensive-minded head coach that absolutely really kind of ended Alabama's season. Like, Alabama was never the same after that Oklahoma game last year. So you talk about revenge. Well, I think Alabama has caught in a little, you know, everybody thought they were going to lose some games this year. They've got a little bit of break on the schedule. They're not going to win at Georgia huge, but South Carolina was down when everybody thought they were going to be really good, and LSU comes in here with no coach. So they've got caught a little break on the schedule.
They won the close one thing, but winning the close so good. You know, the fumble at South Carolina was humongous. People would just bypass that. And I know the touchdown pass was great. Now, I know the two-point conversion was terrific plays, but you got to have the football in order to do that.
Yeah. We were laughing with him last night. He said that he was at the South Carolina game. He said when all those students came down to the field and they were going to rush the field, and when that guy fumbled – after Alabama made the 2-point conversion, he said that place.
They were out the back door.
Yeah, you could hear a pin drop. All right, get to the Yellowwood hotline. What's up, Phillip?
Hey, Phillip.
Hey, Barry and Wimp. Hope y'all are doing good today. But you know, Alabama's such a program maker. Even if we catch them team like South Carolina, somebody like that's a little bit down. You know, when we come into town, it's just a different atmosphere around a lot of these colleges, and they just can't wait to play us and beat us and storm the field. But defense the other night, you know, you hold LSU to 9 points, that's pretty doggone outstanding. And Alabama made a lot of key plays, a lot of key tackles when they had to. Tim Keenan made a great play late in the game that was very, very important. And then, of course, the 18-yard sack that where Nussmeier just sort of screwed up, and Yanze Pierre got him and played a really good game. So the defense was strong. You know, Alabama's first possession was very promising. And then we get into this good, bad, and the ugly. And that was the ugly right there when they couldn't get a half yard to get a first down on that first possession. You score right there, then that game takes on a whole different complexion.
To me, there wasn't any ugly when you win.
I know, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, well. Yeah, he's right. There is no ugly win. If you're a coach, now if you're a fan, then you just win the next one and move on. At Alabama, are they winning some of these games, Phillip, because they got Alabama on their chest and they just kind of think they're going to win and the opponent hopes they're going to beat them, and they're is that winning them a few games? Has Kalen DeBoer and his staff changed the mindset? I think they have with this team.
I think they've done a real good job of keeping their heads in the game.
Yeah.
And that's very, very important because, you know, that game the other night was a strange game. You know, Alabama only had the ball in the third quarter, I think 10 plays. And, you know, they just didn't have the ball much. And that's where LSU had a great opportunity to really get back into the game, and they couldn't take advantage of some golden opportunities. Alabama won the game in the second quarter, plus with the defense, but in the second quarter, you know, they had a 10-play drive for about 76 yards, and then, of course, the big one was right there before the half, you know, right, what, 50 seconds, 56 seconds?
Yeah.
You know, they go down the field 64 yards in 3 plays, so those were just crucial drives, and that second drive was extremely important to Alabama's fate. In winning that game, because that game was, I never felt like Alabama was going to blow it, but it was not comfortable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think DJ Durkin, flipping to him, obviously nobody expected Auburn to score that many points. Of course, nobody expected Auburn to give up that many points as well. I don't know if you saw his press conference after the game. He about broke down and cried 3 times. Just because he was so proud of those guys sticking together, what a tough time it was. So he had to gather himself, which it probably, you know, showing how much he cares. If I'm an Auburn fan, that probably helps me a little bit there. But probably just going to depend on who they can get and how they play the rest of the season. But he helped himself, I'd say, a little bit on Saturday, wouldn't you?
I would think so, from a sound bite standpoint, and winning the room and winning the podium and all that. I definitely thought he won the podium, you know, in my opinion, and did a good job. And Auburn did a good job. They you know, that was a game that was there for the taking. But to Vanderbilt's credit, they came back and did what they had to do. They're a good football team, and that Pavia is a baller.
Yeah,
I mean he had. He's a Heisman Trophy. To me, he's the Heisman Trophy winner.
You think he is, Diego?
I like him. I mean, you know, there's a lot of hygiene for him and a lot of PR stuff with him and all that, and that's okay. That's college football. But he's a straight-up baller, man. He's a good football player.
Yeah, so.
He is. His stats were, I think the guy had 370-yard passing, I believe.
Yeah. He makes some plays, and he doesn't lack for confidence. I'll give you that for
no,
sure.
No, he doesn't at all, and you just got to appreciate that, and that's and all the other stuff. You can like it or not like it, but he's a good football player. But this game Saturday, you know, it just doesn't end for Alabama. It's tough game after tough game after tough game. But, you know, Martin was talking about on his show a little while ago, you know, Alabama seems to use the run to set up the pass, but sometimes you got to use the run to set up a touchdown. And I hope they can get that straightened out, because they're going to need to get some positive yards running against Oklahoma. Otherwise, it's going to be a real setback for Alabama, because Oklahoma's got a strong defense.
Yeah, and, you know, Auburn's gotten their head off the mat a little bit. They got this week off, but I think they energized a little bit. So you got two tough SEC games left for sure. Thank you, as always, Phillip.
Thank you, sir.
All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline, and we'll get Jay in. Good morning, Jay.
Morning. Morning, Barry. Morning, Coach. How are y'all this morning?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey. Good. Barry, I'm with your dad. The O-line is, I think they do too much switching of players on the O-line. There's not no that continuity, because they're swapping guys in and out. It's not a strong continuity to me. And I just think that when Jam's in the game, they hand the ball off him. He tries to juke to get to him. Instead of hitting a hole, he wants to shimmy-shake juke. But when you got a guy like Daniel Hill over on that sideline that can go north and south, they need to play him a little bit more with that running game, and maybe give Kevin Riley, you know, a chance to, you know, he got some of that burst of speed as well.
Do they have Wyatt? You can chime in on this if you want. Do they have an NFL running back on this team? I don't see one. They've always had them.
I don't need. Not right now. I don't.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't. You know, see one.
Jam Miller's not an NFL running back, in my opinion. Kevin Riley is your second leading rusher at 186 yards. 186 yards deep into the season. Jam Miller's got 321 yards right now. Normally, we got guys, I don't know, up in the 800 yard range at this point in the season. So,
yeah, it's just, you know, I looked at the scoreboard all night, and then Jam Miller only had 13 yards rushing. I'm like, this ain't right, you know. It's just the fact that, and that's the reason I think why Ty's rushing a lot, because that right side of the line is hurting us, because I think Jaden Roberts is still kind of hurt with that ankle, and he's not helping Wilkin out on the right there on that right side as well, because he's favoring that ankle, and that rush is coming from that side. But surely they'll get it fixed and get these next two wins, because Oklahoma's is going to come in there with a great defense, and they're gonna probably be blitzing the house most of the time, because they know where our line is.
Well, if there's one team on this schedule that deserves a payback, it's Oklahoma, because they pretty much ended Alabama's season last year. So, Jay, appreciate you, Jay.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a great rest of the day. Roll Tide, guys.
Thank you.
All right. You're looking for some great barbecue. You're looking to maybe do some catering over the weekend for your tailgate. Where you want to do that? Thomas Rib Shack. They're located down at 2931 15th Street right here in Tuscaloosa. You can go to the website thomasribshack.com. Great barbecue, great chicken, pork chops, all the sides. My dad talks about the fried okra there. It's outstanding. They got plenty of sides there for you. So give them a call, and they'll set you right up, or swing by there for a great lunch. I think they're open on Mondays, but they'll be ready to roll tomorrow, so you can swing by there. If you want to do the catering, you can do it on the website, or give them a call, 205-759-5010, thomasribshack.com.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We're moving right along. Now, do be aware of the construction zones ongoing here. So for folks traveling for the first time, you got 2059 eastbound, long-term road work just before Holly Springs Lane. Also on the eastbound lanes of 2059.
Higher price $200 reflects comparable national brand. $75 and a faux fur jacket reg, $108. Valid through 12/24. See store or jcp.com for details.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
Inside the Locker Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right, it's Monday, and we're going to go right to the Yellowwood Hotline. Former assistant Florida State Ole Miss radio personality throughout the South joins us every Monday to talk a little college football. Max Howell. Good morning, Max. How are you?
Good, Max. Hey, guys. How y'all this morning?
We're all right. Go ahead, Deb.
With a so-called win, but a good win, that Vanderbilt over Auburn, if they finish the season winning, should they be in the college playoff?
Coach, it's hard to say right now. I mean, they probably come as far as anybody we know, you know, particularly in this conference. It depends on, you know, who's above, who's ahead of them, and, you know, if they're going to bring in some of the smaller colleges like they do every year. 12 is a good number to have in. And I know it's going to probably 16 in the next couple of years. Well, I think they have the SEC even more. But you can't deny what they've done. Of course, Auburn played much better than they have played. They scored 38. Still got beat, but fact is that Vanderbilt's a good football team. And I think, you know, a lot of people still in their mind, and I'm one of those guys that just keep slotting them back like they've been for, you know, the last 100 years, basically. But
yeah, they got a good quarterback.
That's exactly right. The portal and the NIL stuff helped them tremendously. It's very obvious that they normally had gotten that kind of athlete before. But, you know, remains to be seen. Auburn still finding a way to lose. And I think they've got to overcome that. And it'll be really interesting to see who they decide on to bring in.
The DJ Dirk can help himself. I told Dad the coach from Tulane did not need to get blown out by Memphis. Not only did he not get blown out, he won. So if you're choosing between Dirk and him, maybe the guy, why? I don't know who you're choosing from, but does that depend for DJ Durkin's fate? Does it also depend on who they can get? If they can't get, you know, their first or second choice and they continue to play well, does DJ Durkin have a shot to get this job, Max?
I think he may be an outside shot right now, but, you know, he comes from the defensive side of the ball. Vanderbilt scored 45 on him. I mean, how much did they lost? So how much did that, you know, actually help him as far as getting that job's concerned? He may stay as a coordinator, but I don't know. I listed the three major schools right now is, of course, Auburn and LSU and Florida. And I think all three of them have the same situation. Nobody on the outside, including John Solomon, that's probably a leading candidate right now. They don't understand the inside workings right now. I don't know that people on the staff understand who. If they hire a new coach, do they have a committee to go answer to, or is John Cohen at Auburn to go say, hey, you go answer to me? All that's still up in the air. And I think the reason Glenn Kiffin's name's out right now, and I think he's probably out in any of these jobs, he's got a system set up at Ole Miss. He knows who to answer to. And it's not the athletic director. And it's not a committee. It's one guy. It's a president. And that's it. And he's developed that situation. They have trust in him. And that's why I think his name will be pulled out of every one of these jobs. He's going to stay at Ole Miss another 2 or 3 years, I'm sure.
Yeah, Max, Alabama, Jim Miller rushed for 13 yards. The backup Hill, 21. Can you win the national championship if you can't run the football?
It's going to be hard. It's going to really be hard because, in my opinion, right there, it's going to be Ohio State and somebody playing for it.
So I
think that Ohio State's defense is good enough, particularly if any one of these teams, if Alabama's going to make it, I'm sure going to make the playoff, but can they go through the gauntlet to get to the, you know, to the national championship game? I don't know, to get a chance to play. I was very impressed with Texas A&M. I thought they've got their act together. They play really good defense right now, and I think that's the team Alabama's going to have to, you know, challenge it to. I don't think to get in. I think they're more loss record to get in, but teams like a Texas A&M is who Alabama's going to have to face. And Ty Simpson didn't have a great game either. You know, he was not He threw a couple of balls and he had to escape offensively. I didn't give enough time sometimes. And there were several things you could pick out. But you got to give it to LSU. They came to play. And I think if they, you know, is Alabama prepared? And this happens, guys, and I say it goes back to the FSU ball game. If they don't have something to watch on Sunday afternoon on their next opponent, if what they've seen at MSU was not but the same team that played them the other night. Same thing with Florida State. They had all those new people came in, new coaching staff and all, and they didn't have anything to go on, just basically what Gus had done at other places. So there's a lot of things that happened in preparation for that ball game that happens on Saturday to get them to the playoff, whether they win or lose. So I don't know. I think I like what's going on right now. But all I know, if you coach it in the Southeastern Conference, your team better be ready to play every Saturday. And, of course, we got two more coming, really good ones coming up this week with Oklahoma and Texas. And they coming to Georgia and Alabama. So we'll get a chance to get a good feel, I think, this time next week of who's going to come out of the SEC.
Yep, that.
With Oklahoma lost and A&M lost in the championship game, but was that turn Alabama backwards as far as getting in?
No, I think if either, particularly A&M, if they happen to lose one ball game, A&M's going to go, whether they win the conference or not. I think they've proven that. Assuming they win out, other than maybe the championship game. And I think they'll just almost have to roll over and not play to not win out. If they play like they did the other night, they're going to win the conference championship, I believe. If they play Georgia, I think. See, Georgia became very vanilla if you watched it at that Mississippi State game. They did very little to show anything. And then they just had better athletes. And Kirby knew that. And he wasn't going to show anything. That's good coaching, what he did. So I think it's boiling down to what people in the Southeastern Conference, the fan base, want to see. They want to see good competitive football. Everybody's got their favorite team they want to win. But if they don't, if that team loses and they play the good football game, I think most fans are going to be satisfied with the system is in place right now. Not like some of the earlier systems that nobody really knew what was going to happen to get to there. So, I'll be honest with you, guys. I sit in this chair 10 to 12 hours every Saturday, and I chart every ball game I watch, just like I did when I was on the sideline. And I think I've got a pretty good feel for the way this thing's going. Everybody that's winning right now is supposed to be winning, except the Vanderbilt thing is out of kilter with everybody. But everybody else says the guys that are losing are still losing. So that's what is looking for coaches right now.
Yeah, that ACC got turned upside down over the weekend, so they're only going to get one team in, and whoever.
Right, I think that's true. Yeah.
But if Alabama, they've got three games left, obviously going to beat Eastern Illinois. If they win one of the two conference games left, they would be 10-2, and they lost one, they'd be 10-2. I think they'd be in the playoff. But then if they had to go to Atlanta, if you go to Atlanta, are you guaranteed in the playoff whether you win or lose? So if you go to Atlanta and you lost to A&M and now you're 10-3, surely the committee wouldn't penalize them for making the championship game and losing three games. Would they, Max?
Well, it's not the championship game. It's the fact that they lost three. And I think maybe that, if it depends on – I think it depends on who else wins or loses. They're going to try to take the whole body of work in. And they know just as well as all – you can't get them up every week and get them to play at the top peak every week because of the opponent or because of injury or whatever else the case might be. So all that's going to happen. But I do think right now it's going to be hard. In my opinion, the committee won't take a three-loss team regardless of how that works out.
Even if that three losses from the championship game?
Well, I'm just saying they say they go use streak the schedule, but they've said that before. And I think that's a critical component of deciding. But it's not the fact is that it was a championship game. It was the fact is on paper it was a three-loss team. And that's what they have to defend. They're not going to sit up there and create a situation that they got to defend to everybody that calls in. Our school had three losses also. if we think our schedule was just as good as Alabama, and I'm just using that as an example. I think they feel like they're going to have to defend, if they go more than two losses, they're going to have to defend that. And I don't know that they're good enough to do that, to tell you the truth.
6:30 Saturday night, Texas at Georgia. Yeah. Texas loses that, they're out, right? That's three losses. Yep. Georgia might can survive a loss. Texas can't. You give Texas any chance at Georgia?
No, if Georgia beats Texas, Texas will be out. Texas had played that well, guys. Y'all know that. Yeah. I mean, they would, but they still had they not they're just not sharp enough for some reason. And of course, Mitt has gotten better. But you think about those first four or five ball games. All the hype that came with that just didn't pan out as far as the fan base was concerned. And you know the committee has to take all that in consideration because they got to defend it, you know, when it gets to that. And that's another team that normally started off number one in the country. But if they get three losses coming into, you know, after the season's over, I don't believe Texas goes, period.
So you can literally eliminate Alabama and Georgia could eliminate Texas and Oklahoma this weekend?
That's what I believe. Yeah. I truly believe that.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think, guess if you sit back and think about it, when Alabama and Georgia are playing at their best, they are the two best teams in the country. It's hard to get them up every week. We all understand that. But the fact is that both have a track record of playing outstanding football in big games in front of big crowds. And I think that's another thing the committee will take into consideration, unless you got three losses. I don't believe they can put one in there. It's got three right now.
Yeah.
The first year.
Yeah.
If you're Alabama, do you worry about the transfer portal or the other two quarterbacks? The reason I say that is that everybody says that Russell is so good. The kid that I think Ty is terrific, but do you worry about that? Do you just, of course, that's kind of a stupid question. I guess you do worry about it.
I think the coach, all of them have to be concerned about that because you don't really know. I don't think the coaches can know the kids like they used to because the kids aren't obligated now. They got two options. They got more money and they got the portal, to deal with. And that's used to. They just had the coach they had to satisfy every week. Now that's the coaches own down the pecking order.
That probably wasn't a very good question.
Well, the question is, if Ty goes pro, can you keep both of them, Mac and Russell? I think that's going to be hard.
Yeah, it is going to be hard because the gate's so wide open. What these guys, kids have got now, guys, they've got examples of quarterbacks moving around. And not playing well at one or sitting, being number two at one place and move somewhere and, become a Heisman candidate all of a sudden because the school's got more to offer. Maybe not just so much in money, but they got a better football team than the one of their own. So I think there's, several things that come up right now. And of course, a lot of those guys have got agents already also, but they got to talk to those guys as well. So it's a different game. It's a different game and a different day.
How about that drive at the end of the game by Indiana, Max? Wow. Some of those catches those guys made on that last drive, that touchdown to get your foot in bounds there. And Oregon, that kind of turned everything upside down, but Oregon survives and Indiana. That's what makes these games so fun here getting ready for the playoffs is these teams and these games, you just never know what's going to happen.
That's very true. It goes back to that coaching staff if they get them ready to play. Most everybody's got good players across the country at that top level. But that coaching staff, how much emphasis that they put on the tapes they watch or, what kind of scout report do they have? What is the condition of the team that they got? Has they got somebody injured they hadn't acknowledged along the way? So many things that go into this now that the average fan, I think that goes very much for Las Vegas, the lines that they put out. If you notice, they don't put out many big lines anymore. They're all 3 and 4 and 5 point lines, and they try to protect themselves, I'm sure. But the fact is, it's a different game today than what we all are used to, you know, watching and taking part in, I can tell you.
What is Keith Carter and Lane Kiffin's relationship like? I think it's good. I hadn't heard anything negative about it. Obviously, I know he went right to him after the game. Something happened after the game that Lane Kiffin was not happy about, and he went right to Keith Carter, and they had a conversation about it. And Lane has really pleaded with the fan base to fill the stadium for this team, and they really hadn't on these lower-level games, and I'm sure they will against Florida because that's their competition. But what is the relationship between Keith and Lane Kiffin over there?
What? That they have a good relationship. It's just it's the fact is that Lane doesn't have to answer to him.
Yeah.
And he's got, you know, if somebody holds up the ladder, I've been told it's just the college president, all old person. And I think that's what's happened. And that's what he wanted. If Florida was going to make an offer to him, Florida made a substantial $13.4 million cash offer to put a $1 million offer on the table for 7 years. I know that for a fact. But Lane he never signed it. Because they were working internally. He's satisfied. He's got everything in line. And it's what I'm saying. Having talked to some people that I have over the last couple of weeks, Florida had come to bat. Auburn's John Cohen says he's going to be the one. But guys, I'm telling you, we've seen Auburn go up and down. We don't know who's going to run that program for us all over. And then LSU, the governor's in charge. So, you know, what do you do about, a coaching? If I'm a coach looking for a high-profile job, or being recruited for one, I believe I'm going to ask a bunch of questions before I take it. Lane pulled himself out because he's already got all those questions answered. He knows who the collective is. He knows where the money comes from. He's in full control of the football team. He didn't have to ask anybody how much money to spend. He's got a budget up front. It is adequate. He's happy with it. And then he's got his personal life in line. So I questioned early when he was shopping around or not saying much, and he was being shopped around by Jimmy Sexton, I'm sure. But the fact is, the longer they waited, the more confident. I've made a couple of trips over there just visiting with some folks I've known for years, and they were very confident in telling me that he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I didn't believe that at first. I really didn't, because I'd been on that staff before. And I'd worked in the athletic department. I knew about the finances, and I knew how it was limited in many cases. But guys, they found some people to put in some money. They got two guys that kicked in $30 million last week, and that many folks around the country could do that.
Mm-mm. Wow, Dad. Anything else for Max?
No, I don't have anything else. I don't think the coach from Tulane's gonna get that job.
Well, he may not. I was very disappointed in the way he handled it. He went in the fourth quarter, 30 points up. And if you notice, he's another one of these. And I've been doing John a long time when he took coach to Troy. But the fact is, he's become a little bit more aloof. That's the term I use, because if you notice, he didn't talk to players. He didn't talk to coaches. He didn't talk to anybody. He just ruled the sideline up and down. And I think in the Southeastern Conference, in big games, I think the fans and the players want to see that coach involved, at least get his head in the huddle when they come to the sideline or whatever. I didn't get a good feeling about it, I'll be honest with you.
Well, not him. Who then? Not him. Who, Dad's going to get it?
I don't know.
I don't know who's going to get it. I don't know.
Where is James Franklin going?
Lane Kiffin may be back in the picture.
Huh?
Well, I don't know. I did hear that.
You've always been so adamant Lane Kiffin wasn't going to Auburn.
Yeah. Sometimes that adamantity may change.
They found a little more money.
I'll tell you one thing it is. It's not necessarily about the money. It's who's going to call the shots. And if he ain't going to have an opportunity or he's going to be overridden by calls, he ain't going. I can tell you that right now. I don't care what the money is. He won't do it.
I don't know that Auburn a better job than Ole Miss?
Not right now.
Yeah.
I don't think it is right now. I mean, historically, certainly it's been. Lane changed all that. And of course, Auburn's got a track record. They won national championships. Ole Miss, they never won one. So, I mean, that is historical. You can say yes, but Lane's a different animal, and I think his tenure at Alabama, and he watched what Coach Saban had done there, and I think he picked up a lot of quarters based on his experience other places, and he's applied. And Ole Miss was at a time where they were hungry for that, and they had enough money to raise. They didn't have it in the bank, but they had enough contacts to raise it. And now, all of a sudden, since they're doing so well, others are stepping up to the table and writing checks, and nobody at Ole Miss had ever done that before.
If Ole Miss beats Florida and they lose in the Egg Bowl, they still in the playoff?
If they lose, they will have but two losses. They'll certainly be considered. Yeah. I believe that. Yeah. I think it's all about, at the end, guys, I don't believe it's who they played. I think it's that one-loss record.
Yeah.
I really do believe that.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'd eke in probably. So, all right, Max, what's for supper?
Ben, I'm going to tell you. All we did this weekend, of course, hunting season, the big hunting season's coming up right away, but we did ribs. I went and got a big slab of ribs and put those in. I do mine two ways. I put them on high heat first for about 10 or 15 minutes and get a crust on them. Then I pull them off of grill and wrap them in tin foil, baste them in salt and vinegar, and wrap it up, cook them about 30 to 45 minutes at a high heat. It gets that meat on the inside of the bone really, really tender. Then pull it off of the grill, let them cool off. We had just a traditional sides. I did potato salad. I did deviled eggs, and I did green beans this time for them. And for dessert, they always like a different kind of dessert. This week, we had a fresh blackberry pie. It was about a 2 inch thick, by the way. Blackberries just been pulled off the bush a couple of days before, very fresh. Come out, cooked it hot, obviously. Pulled it right out of the oven, put it on a plate, dumped about half a pound of ice cream, vanilla ice cream.
Well, there's Dad. You gave him another use for vinegar. He does a vinegar tip every day, so he can put vinegar on his ribs when he's grilling out his ribs.
I love it. It makes it crisp. That vinegar, if you leave it in the old flame, it'll make them really crisp on the outside.
Wow.
And that's why I put them back on the inside, get the inside meat really tender. And I love them. I sometimes keep them so tender. When I take the tin foil, I can pick the bone up and the meat will just fall off from it.
Wow. I'm going to have to get you to come over here and cook sometime, Max. Max, we appreciate it. It should be a fun week.
I love it, man. Boss. I love that all day Saturday.
You got some stuff to watch. Thank you, Max.
Thanks, Max. Thank y'all.
All right, that'll do it for this 7 o'clock hour. We'll open the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We'll talk to Doug Bell, too. Dunlap, he made a little cash this weekend. He didn't win, but, man, he shot some good scores. We'll find out maybe if he thinks Nick Dunlap is back. You listen to Ty, 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. It is quite charming outside right now. We're looking at pretty much basic travels as you move along. L43 southbound on to McFarland. You will have that stoplight delay. That's going to cost you a little bit of time on your commute, but not too much.
The Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cold and windy today. The sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 41. For tonight, we go way below freezing. The sky clear, the low 23. Tomorrow, sunny with a warmer air.
752-7222 or visit them online at catfishheaventuscaloosa.com to check out their menu and order ahead. Catfish Heaven, where every bite feels just right.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Brianna Murrow.
Jahmyr Gibbs had himself a day in the nation's capital.
Detroit tosses it to the right side. Inside the 20, inside the 10, inside the 5. Touchdown, Detroit Lions, 44 yards.
Yes, sir.
Jahmyr Gibbs putting together a day, and the Lions have opened up that lead. It is now 41-16.
Lions Radio Network on the call. They topped Commanders 44-22. The Rams improved to 7-2 after knocking off the 49ers 42-26. Matthew Stafford becomes the first player in NFL history with four or more passing touchdowns and zero interceptions in
two is delayed.
And all the while, you were on your commute home. There's more to imagine when you listen. Discover romance titles on Audible.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wimp Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. I got a message from Tommy Ford last week. He said, I didn't realize that song you were playing was Sandstorm. He said, and I heard that at South Carolina game. He was sick of hearing that Sandstorm. Sorry, Tommy. Tuscaloosa Toyota, go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. You look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory. Schedule service, rent a Toyota, order a part, whatever you need. The RAV4, the hottest selling vehicle in the United States, 3.75 APR Toyota Corollas. They've got the great trucks, the Tundras out there, the Tacomas, whatever you want. Tuscaloosa Toyota's got more inventory than ever out there on the lot. Swing by Skyland Boulevard, find Justin, and tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, we got several calls here. We'll get right to them before we get to Doug. Good morning, Pat. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. Man, what an improvement from the first game to the second. Oh, good Lord. Man, these guards of Alabama and stuff, they seem to be speed personified. And I want to talk about, hey, thank y'all so much for having Max's What's for Supper or What's for Dinner. It's my favorite. Other than Coach's Blue Plate, it's probably the best sketch y'all do is Max's What's for Supper, because the only thing I do different with them ribs is I wrap mine in aluminum foil. But I soak mine 24 hours of those mountain grape juice in order to break the protein down. But wow.
Do you spray them? Do you spray them while you're cooking them?
I make a deal out of ribbon cane syrup and Sprite, and I clean them the whole time I'm cooking them. Mm-hmm. With Sprite and ribbon cane syrup.
Yeah.
To keep them wet. But man, Max is special, that, and I thank y'all for that. Because this group, the last 8 minutes, if anybody that didn't watch that basketball game, I suggest you find somebody that's got it somewhere and go back and watch it. That was truly special. What do y'all think?
How do you think they played?
Oh, Alabama's guards?
Yeah,
terrific. They were terrific. And certainly to get a guard from Auburn with that kind of ability to get him to transfer, felt like he wouldn't get enough shots, which most of the time every player feels that way. It was a big plus. I had thought that maybe two of the guards were not going to play at all. He led you to believe that a little bit. Of course, you have to tell when they're going to play by rule, but the guards are very good inside players, and they rebounded okay. I thought the rebounding was going to be a very effective deal, but they didn't miss many shots for it. They did struggle a little bit, giving up some twos that they probably wished they hadn't some defensive boards they didn't get. But Alabama's going to be big time
thing. That was a very, very good team that played.
Do you bet?
No, I only bet on the radio.
If you were a bettor, this is free for people out there.
Yeah.
Whoever St. John's plays next, take St. John's. Rick Pitino, they don't play again until Saturday. He was so embarrassed about how they played defensively. And he said they thought they tried to play too fast. They tried to play Alabama style, and they can't play Alabama style. These guys are about to have the roughest week ever. They play William and Mary on Saturday. They are going to blow me.
William and Mary gets beat by 15.
Oh, it'd be more than 15. William and Mary better come ready, because those guys are going to be salivating to get to those guys.
But can we beat Purdue? The we on Purdue, Anna. I said my tickets are in row 16, section A. Oh, ain't good seats. And but Purdue sits right behind me in the corner. And hearing that we on Purdue crap is the worst chant other than that crap down there, War Eagle crap. That is the absolute worst thing I've ever heard. Is that we on Purdue. And I want to beat the Boilermakers more than I want to beat Auburn in the final game.
Oh, wow, Pat. Come on. That ain't true. Thank you, Pat.
All right, y'all have a blessed day.
All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Cowboy?
How you doing, Barry and Coach? Well, I told y'all last time I talked to y'all, I said, I'm going with Alabama to beat St. John's. So, Coach and Barry, I told you so, guy. Y'all called me a few weeks ago, so I'm gonna be. I told you so, guy. That we were gonna beat St. John's Saturday.
Yeah. I did not think we would, so I was wrong.
Yeah. Well, here I am. I told you so, guy.
Yeah.
Those kind of games in preseason that, you know, you don't expect them to win in those big time matchups. Remember, he went out there to Gonzaga and beat them in Seattle.
Yeah.
When they had that guy that plays for Oklahoma City Thunder now. Oh, heck, I can't.
He also went and won at Houston, which was a huge win. Yeah. So you're right about that.
But then on a Wednesday night, we'll lose at home to Ole Miss when they know how to muck up the strategy. So, you know, it's a long season.
Ole Miss got a good basketball team.
Yeah. But,
Ole Miss this year is going to be very good.
That was a good win. Hey, Barry, are we getting old or what? But what's your feeling of... I sat in the old Bryant Denny lower bowl Saturday. Maybe I'm getting old, but there's so much going on that I don't even know if half people watch the game. What do you think, man?
No, they don't watch.
You know, I don't go to the games. I could go, but I don't. But when people offer you tickets, like I'm a snob. People get my, like, I ain't sitting in the upper deck. All right, I'm just not. If I'm gonna have to sit in the upper deck, I'm gonna watch the game at home. How do you, when somebody says, hey, I got two tickets, how do you politely say, hey, where are they? Because if they say they're in the upper deck, I ain't going. But how do you do that, Cowboy? How do you politely say, where are they, before you decide whether you're going to take them or not?
Well, I've got some seats that are in the original side on Bryant Denny that they built in 1988 up there in U3 area. And those aren't bad with all the commotion, but down there in the old, like when your dad probably remembers in the late 60s, early 70s, they called it the Student Information Fund. And my father had seats down there. We sat on like section G or somewhere like that, or J, and then they moved us over on the east side in the late 70s. But I sat there in J. And I'm telling you, man, that's like sitting in a jungle. I mean, shakers in your face all game. I mean, you can't you really don't know what's going on. You're just trying to survive and get you another beverage to keep your nerves calm, because otherwise you're just, you know, and the speakers crackle and all the noise. I mean, I enjoy things, but I tell you, up there in the upper level is not as bad as in the lower. But some of those girls
look in the mirror before they walk out. They don't wear anything to these games, Cowboys. Girls.
I saw some girls walking to the game Saturday. If that had been my daughter, she wouldn't have been coming out of the house. Lord, man.
Yeah.
Barry.
They don't wear any clothes, Barry?
No, they ain't wearing no clothes on that quad. They got he put on as little as possible. Running around.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
It's not our Alabama back in the 80s, 90s, is it? What happened? I guess we've lost etiquette.
Everybody's on their phone the whole game, taking selfies, and it's different. Yeah. It's different. So it's fine.
Is it as bad as that at other schools, or is it about the same?
About the same. Sure. It's all the same. So they're trying to entertain you in there now, Cowboy. You don't go to watch the game.
It's like going to a nightclub, because you got the flashing lights, you got the music, and the dancing, and then there's a football game in the middle of the field. we got some big games this week in the SEC. It's going to be kind of maybe shakedown Saturday.
You know? Eliminate Texas and Oklahoma and get them out of here, the two new boys, get them out of the playoffs this weekend. Let's do it.
Now, what happens if Alabama just, say, ended up with one loss, Georgia one loss, A&M lose? You got to prove it to me. A&M is going to beat Texas in Austin. I guess Alabama's got the tiebreaker over Georgia. We know that. And then that would be it. So it would be Alabama and A&M with all of them one loss, right?
Yeah. Looks like it. So, all right, Cowboy, we got to. Oops, I just lost Cowboy. We got to. Is that you, Cowboy? All right, let's go. We got to get to break here, and we got to get to Doug Bell. You missed the Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Even slower now as you move across the area for your Monday morning. And we got a long red line on 43 southbound onto McFarland. Traffic there is red lit back to Flatwoods Road. And speaking of red lights, lots of them up in Northport as well on the southbound lanes of
throughout your day. With just one pill, Aleve lasts up to 12 hours. Don't let those aches and pains hold you back from doing what's important to you. Use as directed.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
And it's always no work and all play at Silver Star and Golden Moon Casinos. So come on, leave it all behind and head to Pearl River Resort.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
The University of Alabama. This is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Guthrie's, America's original chicken finger restaurant and a proud partner of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Visit online at GuthriesChicken.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. After Alabama's 20-9 win on LSU on Saturday, head coach Kalen DeBoer met with the media.
It's always good to get a W. Definitely not satisfied with the way we played at times. Made enough plays to win. But certainly got to continue to prove, got to get back to work tomorrow, and our guys know that. Proud of the defense, holding them to field goals for red zone attempts and walking away with 9 points. It's a great job by those guys. Penalties, like what I see there. And then, turnover, won the turnover battle. So obviously a big play there at the end. And, you know, just there's some plays out there we got to make, and that will help a lot of our offense and defensively. Again, I thought we fought for four quarters, and so quietly just going out there, taking care of business, and really locked in on anything.
I'll have more in a moment.
This year we honor the most important anniversary ever. An event that reshaped civilization as we know it. A day that would lead to something so flawless that nothing could ever really compare. People have tried to match it, but have failed. This year we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Guthrie's, the home of the original chicken finger.
Just talking about it gets me all choked up.
And hungry for a chicken finger. Guthrie's, an original obsession for 60 years.
Join us tonight for Crimson Tide Rewind, live from Baumhauer's Victory Grill in Vestavia Hills at 6 p.m. Central. You can listen to Crimson Tide Rewind across the radio network, the Varsity Network app, as well as catch a video replay on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Guthrie's. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cold and windy today. The sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 41. For tonight, we go way below freezing. The sky clear, the low 23. Tomorrow, sunny with a warmer afternoon, the high in the low 50s at 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 33 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. You're right to the Yellowwood Hotline. He's with the PGA Tour Live, CBS Sports Headquarters. Got a podcast, the old Gab Box, and he is on with us every Monday. He's a game picker. We'll look at his games this week as well. Doug Bell, prognosticator, that's the word, right? Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Hey, Barry. Hey, Coach. I'm doing great. It's a little cool outside, but still walked the dogs this morning, so all good.
Doug, if you see Dad, he's jerking his pants up. He hit his blue plate special.
Yeah,
so give him some applause for that again, Wyatt. He hit it. He said, take, yes, SMU. And I had somebody text me, actually Cowboys, said that was a terrible pick. So I reminded him on Saturday for that, too. So he got a W.
Way to go, Coach.
He's back on track.
Way to go, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug, I missed it out. How did Nick finish, and did it help him a great deal the way he played?
Yeah, there's only two tournaments left, guys, PGA Tour season. They wrapped up in Cabo yesterday. The Worldwide Technology Championship. Coach Ben Griffin, who was on the Ryder Cup team, closes with 64, 29 under par, his third win of the season, and only Rory and Scotty have more than three wins. So big season for Ben Griffin. Nick Dunlap, Nick closed with 65 after he opened with that 61. And so he tied for eighth. It's best finish of the season. So that's really good for Nick, and I think that'll – hopefully catapult him to a good 2026. You know, guys, it was interesting, and I sent a text to Barry. You know, he's the only guy, Nick Dunlap, in PGA Tour history to have a 90 during the season and then a score of 61 or better. He shot a 90 in the opening round of the Masters and shot a 61 in the opening round of Mexico. And I think what that exemplifies is his season. Very up and down. It just needs to be more consistent. And, guys, I listened to his press conference after the 61, and it was really interesting because here's a young guy, and as he said multiple times in this interview, he goes, I'm only 21. I should be a junior at the University of Alabama playing with my teammates. I should be with all my friends, but because I won so early, I'm out here on the PGA Tour. So you sense, man, this kid really – really longs to be in college right now. So he's fighting that mentally. And I think, hopefully this tournament coach will set him in a good stead heading to 2026.
Well, before we get to football, will he be able to make the PGA Tour again? Is he going to be out of that?
He's good. He's good on his two wins last year.
Okay.
So Nick Dunlap is secure through 2027.
Okay.
So he's in good shape. You know, Gordon Sargent, by the way, the kid from Birmingham went to Vanderbilt. He finished tied for 53rd, and he is secure for next year through PGA Tour University. But Trey Mullinax missed the cut. He has two more. I don't think Trey's going to play in Bermuda this week because that's a long Mexico to Bermuda, but he will play in the RSM in 2 weeks. That's Davis Loves over Sea Island. Trey needs to get it going or he's going to not have his PGA Tour card next year. Yeah. So we're rooting for Trey Mullinax.
Will Nick play this weekend?
No, he's not playing in Bermuda. Again, a lot of these guys, you know, it's you're in Cabo last week,
mm-hmm.
and then to take that trek all the way to Bermuda is a long one because you have to fly to either Atlanta, Charlotte, or New York, and then there's not multiple flights to Bermuda every day. So it's a big travel thing. So a lot of the guys are because they need to play. They're trying to secure playing privileges for next year. But a guy like Nick is not going to play. He's going to take the week off and then come back. And Trey's going to have to play. I mean, he needs to keep the hammer down. And since he missed the cut, he probably got a head start over to Bermuda. So we'll see what happens. Bermuda, by the way, it's a little island. From Charlotte, I always go through Charlotte, and it takes about, 2 hours max to get over to the little island. It's the shortest golf course on the PGA Tour. It's about 7,000 yards. And it's wide open. It's fun. The big thing in Bermuda is the wind. The wind is always blowing, and sometimes it's 40, 50 miles an hour. And so that creates a little havoc. Yeah, but it's a short golf course, so it's wide. Anybody can win. There's 144 guys. Normally that's not the case, but in Bermuda, it's wide open. So we'll see what happens.
Is that nice over there, Doug, Bermuda?
Yeah, it's nice. This time of year, it's great. Again, though, it's just windy. But normally the highs are – you might sneak into the low 80s, but it's sunny all the time. And if it rains, it's such a small island, the rain goes over the island pretty quick.
Yeah.
But it's a very unique place. You know, the road goes around the outskirts of the island. It's a little cobblestone road. And I always laugh. You know, people say, what's it like transportation? I'm like, well, sometimes you get caught behind a horse and buggy, and they think I'm being funny, but that's true. Sometimes you're behind a guy pulling his buggy with a horse, and you have to go very, very slow around Bermuda. And by the way, their watering system, all the roofs are white, this special tile on the roof, and all the rain comes down and it washes down into these tanks, and that supplies the fresh watering system in Bermuda. It's really a neat place, and I think the players who go enjoy it. It's just a long way to go.
All right, more news on the LIV, these LIV guys, DeChambeau, those guys, as far as coming back to the tour. Rahm, I think he misses the tour. That kind of just dead right now, Doug.
Well, LIV has announced that they're moving forward, and they, instead of three rounds, next year they'll go to 72 holes, the traditional four rounds, which is interesting because they always say, hey, we're the cool kids in the block. We're only playing 54 holes. But now they'll go 72 holes. And all the guys, Barry, you mentioned John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Bill Mickelson, all the so-called big names, they have 1 year left on the contracts they originally signed. So okay. It goes through 2026. And Bryson DeChambeau has already DeChambeau's already said he wants to negotiate a new deal. He'd like to keep playing on LIV. And I think that could just be a negotiating tactic, but we shall see. Now, again, keep in mind, we have a brand-new commissioner on the PGA Tour, and even though 2026 the schedule is set, we don't know what's in store for 2027 when all these contracts run out, and once they get into the boardroom and start discussing things. So I suspect in 2027, and again, the calendar moves pretty quick, guys. I suspect in 2027 we're going to have some form of crossover play, and there'll be some new tournaments in the fall. When we're watching football, there'll be some big tournaments in the fall all over the world, which will involve players from LIV and the PGA Tour. That's how I think it's all going to shake out in 2027.
All right, let's, Wyatt, we're getting to Doug's picks here, so we'll roll down Doug. Doug was 17-16 going into this weekend. Vanderbilt was taking on Auburn. Doug, you always got to buy down the hook. The line was 7.5, and he said take Vandy minus the 7.5. Vandy did win the game, but they won by 7. So, Wyatt, give him the bump on that one. So you got the, he's looking it up. So anyway,
all right. Wyatt's my friend. He's not a winner like me.
North Carolina. Bill Belichick and his girlfriend. Stanford had to come all the way across the country, and you thought they were going to be jet lag. And so you said take the Tar Heels minus the 9.5. The Tar Heels did win.
Yes.
That was 20 minus 15, just for Doug's math.
They covered, didn't they?
No. 20 minus 15 is 5. So that is not a cover. No. No. And then Alabama taking on LSU. And that line jumped all around, but when you took it, it was 10.5. And you actually, how good is Vegas? That game's 20-9. It's by 11.
I was sweating out, guys.
The bookies here in town are upset when Alabama wins because they lose their shirt. So Doug does win that one, so give him a little clap there. Here we go. All right, so that runs that record, Doug, to 18-18. You're 18, so you've lost the juice at this point. You're not in the money anymore. You've lost the juice.
Yeah, but we'll get it back, Barry.
Somebody's gotten the juice from him, and that's me.
Yeah. So
I know. I'm spreading the wealth.
If there are people are betting against the picks on our show, we got a guy that picks on Friday, and he did not hit his, and then Jason didn't hit his. So if you pick against us, boy, you can make a lot of money. But I know you, Doug, and we say this every week. You're going to swing this weekend. So where are we going this weekend? And we'll get Wyatt to tweet it out. Where are we going?
All right, let's start out North Texas, guys. Still an opportunity to be the Group of Five automatic bid. They're 8-1. They're an 18-point favorite at UAB this weekend. Now, keep in mind, North Texas, great season, guys. Number one in the country. Turnover margin, plus 11. Number one in the country, red zone offense. Number six in the country, total offense. Number two in the country in scoring offense. And UAB, their defense, 132nd in the country, points allowed. 108th in the country, total yards allowed. Listen, come on. The numbers speak for themselves. North Texas can name their point total. They will blow out UAB, which, by the way, hasn't played particularly well since they upset Memphis with the interim coach, Alex Mortensen. So I think North Texas easily covers the 18 against UAB and keeps their.
Actually, I'm going to do you one better, Doug. My line says 17.5. So I'm going to give you the 17.5. So why lock him down for North Texas minus the 17.5? Poor Mortensen, he's not going to get the job if he's doing all that.
No, he's not.
All right, go ahead, next game.
All right, how about this? Big Ten, Iowa, which lost an absolute heartbreaker to Oregon. Not sure you saw it, but, you know, they were going for two, and they got it. Oh, let's go to the replay. No, we come up short, so Oregon gets the ball, goes down, kicks the field goal. Snow was coming down. It was typical Iowa weather. Iowa goes to USC. USC, this is an interesting spread, guys, 6.5. Some people thought that was a little high. And again, Lincoln Riley, who is proclaimed by some as the best play caller in the country against Phil Parker, longtime DC for Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, great defensive coordinator. So it'll be a nice chess match. USC still has a chance, guys, to make the playoffs, 7-2, 5-1 in the Big Ten. And I love these numbers. Now, listen to this. Jaden Miava, the quarterback for USC, has thrown for 2,614 yards. Iowa's quarterback, Mark Gronowski, has thrown for 946 yards. My goodness. USC at home this weekend in the nice weather will cover the 6.5. Iowa, those kids, when they finally get out of Iowa and go to Southern California, they're not going to know what to do.
Doug, you know what you need to do? You need to do one of those because you – make it sound so good. You need to do one of those Leonard Losers shows every Saturday.
Yeah,
Leonard.
Absolutely.
Loser. Yeah, you'd be good. All right, go to your third game.
All right, lastly, Georgia Tech coming off a bye week at Boston College, guys. They're 16.5 point favorites. Georgia Tech 8-1, 5-1 in the ACC. Brent Key's team controls their own destiny. Now, they have Georgia at the end of the year, but if they win their ACC games, two left, they're going to the ACC championship, likely to make the college football playoffs if it all rolls out for them. Boston College guys have lost 9 in a row. Bill O'Brien got a little testy with a student reporter last week. I don't know if you saw that or not. Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness. The student report, he said, "You're always negative." He was yelling at the kid. He goes, "Why do you come in here all negative?" And the kid was like, "Well, we've lost 8 in a row." So,
what's positive about? Yeah, I don't blame the student reporter.
But it was an interesting back and forth. I think Georgia Tech, if you look at what Brent Key has done in his 2+ years at Georgia Tech, after a bye week, they've been very good. So Georgia Tech gets some of their guys who've been banged up back and healthy. And I think they blow out Boston College, who's having one of their worst seasons in recent memory. So, against BC 1-9.
To take Georgia Tech, boys, yep. Lions, minus the 16.5, Wyatt, for X-ing purposes when you put it out. So 16.5, take Georgia Tech minus 6. That's what Dad whipped up on Boston College this weekend. SMU went over and took care of those guys. What's wrong with Bill O'Brien?
Well, they've had a ton of injuries. Number one, quarterback issues. I mean, bottom line, they just aren't very good. And I think Bill has kind of gotten caught up in this swirl. A lot of his good players transferred to other schools. I'm not sure BC has the NIL budget some of the other schools have. There's a lot of factors, obviously. And I think Bill's going to get another year. They've had two pretty good seasons under him. So they'll give him another year, but this is, man, Boston College, a proud football tradition for a long, long time, going back to Doug Flutie, his statue's out in front of the stadium. But, guys, they're likely to finish 1-11. So it's going to be a bad, bad season for the Boston College Eagles, that's for sure.
I see you've been X-ing a lot. I call it X-ing, not tweeting, about Bucky. I hope you didn't take Texas A&M yesterday. When they traveled over to Oklahoma State, because Bucky Ball did not work well over there. 87-63. Yes, they got beat.
They got plastered, yeah.
Really? Yes.
Yeah, Coach, they played very poorly. But at the same time, he's got all new guys. You know, it was an interesting conversation with a guy who I covered in high school when he was a kid, a guard at Mount Brook High School. And I love the guy. But when Buzz Williams went to Maryland, Buzz took his 5 best players with him, and then the other kids transferred. So Bucky, when he took the job late, if you remember,
had
to go out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has 14 new players.
Yeah.
So, in our interview, I asked him, "You ever been to Oklahoma State?" "No." And I said, "Well, Gallagher Iba, the arena there is awesome." But I said, "It's a tough place to play." Oklahoma State's got some pretty good players. And he's like, yeah. Well, he found out. But I just, listen, I know we all love college basketball. I must say I watched a lot of hoops this weekend. I know there was football on, but Indiana looked really good. Michigan State looked good in beating Arkansas, who I think is pretty good. The Alabama game was fantastic. The excitement in that building. Rick Pitino afterwards just said, "Hey, we couldn't guard their guards, those two kids up top." And I don't know. I love the way college basketball is getting off to a fast start. And North Carolina, that was a big win over Kansas. Hubert Davis really needed that one. So there's a lot of good stuff. I mean, we're only a week in. And it'll be interesting to see the Purdue game on Thursday in Tuscaloosa. I don't know if Purdue's number one in the country or not. They got that tag on it, but we'll find out on Thursday
if you're Purdue.
I'll tell you what, though, I don't like the game time. 6 is hard for people from Birmingham to get down here and get in the arena.
Yeah.
That's a bad time.
The arena's not going to be full at the top. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And we've seen that time and time again, right?
Yeah.
6 o'clock, and whoever's doing the game will comment like, "I can't believe it's not a the arena's
Tom
not full." Cool,
Tom Hart being there. Tom Hart is good, man. All right.
Well, he understands.
Doug, tell us about Casa de Campo before you go.
Yeah, guys, I made my travel plans. You know, it's just a short flight, by the way, from Miami to the Dominican Republic. I go down to Miami, and then it's like an hour and a half flight over. And it's very reasonable. I'm telling you, Casa de Campo is an incredible golf course, a family vacation spot. It's a huge complex. They roll out the red carpet. The weather this time of year is fantastic. And Teeth of the Dog is the Pete Dye special right there on the ocean it's reopened for some people, but they actually cut the ribbon in December, and I'll be down for that. Jerry Pate completely redid it, and it's absolutely breathtaking. So check it out. Just go to the website. You'll see all the pictures, and listen, the pictures are real. That's the way it really looks. CasaDeCampo.com.
You're the best, Doug. 18 and 18.
Talk to you next week, guys.
You're the best. I'm the best.
18 and 18. Wyatt just tweeted out your picks, but he didn't put your record. So 18 and 18.
21.
Yeah.
21 and 18. So Wyatt. Go ahead and put 21 and 18.
I'm smarter.
Bye, Doug. All right, Dad, tell me about Bryant Bank when we get to break.
Bryant Bank, your bank. When I say your bank, you walk in, they'll know you. And they'll do everything they possibly can to be helpful to you when you're opening up a business or personal or both account. You'll be able to bank online around the clock, which is darn good. You may want to bank at midnight, for all I know. And your money will be safe, which is the most important thing I've said. So go by Bryant Bank. Tell them you heard on Inside the Locker Room. Open up an account and call Barry and tell us how smart we are. Bryant Bank, outstanding.
All right, Wyatt, find the I Feel Good music because we're going to make you feel good with a vinegar tip when we get back. You ain't got no vinegar tip?
Yeah, I got a vinegar tip.
You got a vinegar tip. We got a sponsor for it. Just make one up.
I got one.
All right. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We move right along on these roadways. Now, you're only slowing down briefly in the usual spots. We got Skyland Boulevard at University and then Skyland at Buttermilk Road. So you do want to watch out for that bit of a mambo jumbo in the area. But again, that's pretty much normal.
Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. Follow Tide 100.9 on Facebook today to watch our live shows, read the great articles, and interact with Bama fans today.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. All right, this vinegar tip brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Michael's our guy. Well, let him become yours. 205-752-8500. Hopefully you don't have to use your insurance, but if you do, you want to have a good guy representing you. And Michael is the guy, even though he's a Mississippi State guy. All right, Dad, what is your vinegar tip for this?
Well, we've been looking at ribs and skew and stuff, and they're telling me that you add a tablespoonful of vinegar when you're boiling or fixing ribs or stew, and that will make them much, much tender, extra tenderness if you'll do that, though. So don't forget that. And if you're marinating or basting meats, I just took Barry three steaks. Here's what you do to make that taste great. If you're basting those meats, mix a half a cup of vinegar, and besides that, get 1/4 cup of oil and 1/4 cup of ketchup, which is a little bit different ketchup, and then put in as you mix that all up to put on there, put a cup of brown sugar. And a teaspoon, if you got it, of soy sauce. And mix that all up and baste base that meat with that, and that was going to make that piece of meat outstanding. So we're going to be talking about meats and vegetables and stuff, but because we're going to Thanksgiving and Christmas, that's a lot of good stuff to talk about. So do what I say do, and those meats will be delicious.
There you go. Brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. Michael, my guy Michael, he chimed in, and we talked about girls wearing no clothes at the games. The girls are advertising for a husband, so I'm not sure if that's true or not. All right, let's get back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Good morning, Barry. Good morning, Coach.
How are you, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
I'm good. How are y'all?
We're good.
You know, Coach, Saturday I was watching a basketball game, and they were amazed that Alabama came to New York and actually knew how to play basketball. I mean, they just kept saying it over and over.
Yeah.
I got tickled. Because they showed a video of y'all in the NIT, and Coach Bryant was on the bench.
Yeah.
And he was raising all kinds of hell with the referee. And if I'm not mistaken, if I remember you telling this story, I may be crossed up a little bit. I hope you'll straighten me out. Somebody told you to go down there and tell him not to be so hard on the referees, and you said, you're a damn fool. I ain't telling you nothing.
Yeah, I think that's right. I wouldn't say anything to
him. And I saw that video Saturday, and I started thinking about that story. I got tickled. Yeah. My wife said, what's so funny? And I told her that story, and she liked to die.
You know what?
He had his hat on. He was running through our players because we looked like we were going to get beat, came back and won. You know, it's interesting stories. Everybody always talks about the loss that we had against St. John's when we had a great team when they shot the threes and beat us. But the last time we played St. John's, Lou Carnesecca was a great, great, great coach, and they stuck us in the NIT game, and they put us in the NIT trying to get rid of us. They didn't want us in New York, and they put us in. And so
they used to say they don't care nothing about basketball. That's a football
They were trying to get rid of us. And they sent us to St. John's. And we whacked them like you've never been whacked before. We beat the crap out of them. But people have forgotten that win because Rick Pitino was not the coach. But it was one of the
Lou Carnesecca. Lou Carnesecca was there.
Yeah. Tom, you know what? That red sweater.
You know what I'm disappointed in, Tom? Is that Dad is so big on you don't wear your hat indoors. You don't wear a hat inside. And he let Coach Bryant wear his hat in Madison Square Garden.
But you know what?
Now, and said, Coach, you're going to go in and take that hat off.
Uh-huh.
He didn't do that.
Uh-huh.
Well, since the arena is that big, I just don't like baseball caps.
I heard one of the players talking about that game, and he said when we went in there, said the circus was running on another floor and said that elephant poop said you could smell it everywhere. He said it was sickening in there. Is that true?
No, that's where they keep the animals.
But Madison Square Garden has a lot of different things going on at the same time.
Yeah, it's got like 10 floors.
No, but they do it all in there, but they keep the animals, you know, on a different floor while they're having the circus. They may be having a game and they put the animals up. It smells to high heaven in that place, Tom.
We went in there one time and it's a great place.
And we went in there when I was assistant coach one time. We got North Carolina in the semifinals to go to the championship, and North Carolina beat us. But that particular time, we beat Carolina pretty good most of the time. But Madison Square Garden, as Barry said, is quite different than most people think.
Good Lord.
Going to a bigger arena.
I'm telling you, the
elevator up there.
Yeah. Tom, where are you?
I'm at work, damn it. I tried to call you when I was outside, and I had to tell that story. And every time I call, I'm in the mill and it's running, it's just but I still got to call. Y'all just going to tolerate me.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
See y'all.
All right, you get the last word to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Bryce?
Well, I don't know if y'all felt like I did. After we sacked Nussmeier, I feel like if he hadn't went out of the game, we'd just have blown that game wide open, baby.
Yeah.
Because we done had him rattled. So that game would have been a lot different if he would have stayed in the game, I think.
I thought it was pretty good.
My wife, they showed him, and she thought he was crying on the sideline. Was he crying on the sideline?
I think he was real unhappy.
Yeah.
His dad worked for Coach State.
Yeah. They got a lot of friends still here. The Nussmeiers do. So. Yeah.
Well. I just thought that would have been a different game to put that other quarterback in there because I bet we didn't have no tape on that guy. I bet we didn't know how to react to that guy.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Alabama's flirting with disaster. They better put it together, but they're finding ways to win. So,
that's all you got to do. You know, this thing in time, Barry, we'd like to beat everybody to 2 or 3 touchdowns, but. You just can't. Yeah, but
when you're leading,
you just gotta win.
When your leading running back has like 16 yards, come on, Vince, that's gonna catch you, isn't it?
I know. We gotta get a running game.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right, Bryce.
We gotta get a running game. Thanks. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. We'll get out of here, but I want to tell you, the blue plate special was hit, and I know they had. Mr. Brian's funeral over on Friday, and we appreciate Hardin Construction always being a great to Tide 100.9. When you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa beyond for over 30 years. Hardin Construction is your partner in industrial fabrication, steel work, and heavy equipment services from custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big or too tough. Family owned. Woman led, Brian Hardin Construction, 205-759-1337. All right, the Gary Harris Show is next. It's special. Gary's in the studio today, so he's ready to roll. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Stay warm, everybody.